going, guys? Every Sunday, here we are in the studio, LATalkRadio.com, the best internet talk station, oh, in the world. How's it going, guys? This is Teen Friends with Dave and Friends. I'm your host, David Cohen. And in the studio today, we got August.
Hi.
We got Matthias.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
And we got Aiden.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
So, as you know, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything from, parent issues to school issues to relationship issues to religious aspects, just like whatever
any
is,
issues yeah, you dude, have.
All over the board.
Like, whatever is just, like, on your mind, man. You tell us, and we talk about it, and we help you.
Yeah.
That's what we're about on the show. So recently, as you know, every show we have a specified topic, and you know we kind of go off on little different tangents just to you know expand a little bit more, so we can you know see a broader perspective on things. Well, recently. I've had close friends and, you know, even acquaintances, and I got a few emails, and actually a few listeners who approached me, about specifically more this week than in the past, which is cool. So I decided to do my topic on this for the week. Drum roll, please. It is how to be yourself and meet people without expectation. Let me explain. It's like, for example, let's say you're a guy and you meet a girl who you think is attractive. Well, don't change yourself, obviously. You know, if you heard this 1,000 times, just be yourself, you know. But it's a little bit deeper than that. It's don't change yourself to meet an expectation that you have with that person. For example, if you have an expectation to take this girl out on a date, don't change yourself simply because you want to go on a date with this girl. You know, because if you do, then that's not going to be you. That's going to be you putting on this facade.
You'll end up creating a different persona.
Right.
And then you'll end up following that persona every single time you're with this person.
Right.
And that's not you.
It's really about being yourself. I mean, you don't want to mask who you are.
Right. No, totally. I mean, because think about it like this. It's like, you know, you said it perfect, August. It's like, you know, you put on a mask, you know, and when you're putting on a mask, obviously it's not who you truly are. And then think about it this way. Every single time, even if that girl does say yes to this person who you're pretending to be, yeah, dude, she's going on a date with the person you're pretending to be.
And every time you've just got to wear that mask.
Yeah, single time.
So should you really be going on a date with her in the first place?
No, you should not.
Matthias, no. No, you shouldn't. Or maybe not necessarily, maybe it's not that you shouldn't be going on a date with her in the first place. Maybe it's that if she was like more into, you know, who you actually were, maybe if you actually like truly presented your true self to her, then she would be interested just as much as she would be as if you were to put on a mask, you know?
Right. Yeah, so, and if you're confident with yourself, then it would be better anyway. If you're confident with your true self, then it'd be better than putting on a mask just to impress her.
Dude, 100%.
One other thing to consider also is, so let's say you do end up really digging this girl and, you know, you're with her at this point and you did start it off that way and it continued to snowball that way. Would you be properly suited with her?
Right.
No.
At all?
No.
Simply no.
Yeah, because you'd be growing into like this, you'd be growing into another person. You know, you'd be growing into this, you know, facade as we were talking about. Matthias, I want to touch on something that you just said. Confidence also, along with confidence comes loving yourself.
Oh yeah.
Loving yourself. That honestly, like when it comes to just like meeting a person, let it be a guy or a girl, like, and I'm not talking about just like relationships. I'm not talking about just like, oh my God, hey, I totally think you're cute when I go out. No, dude, it goes like way beyond that.
Well, it's just relationships, friendships. I mean, I wouldn't quite consider a relationship with a girl to be the only aspect of a relationship.
Right. No,
my
right.
friendships yeah. are relationships. Yeah. So yeah. the broad aspect of all relationships with people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rule number one, like, dude, you got to love yourself, man. It's like, okay, think about this. Have you ever noticed that happy people get more attention?
It's true, yeah. I mean, like, for example, like you, David, I mean, you're Aww. A very generous guy. You're Aww, a very happy
thanks,
guy.
And
you do, I mean, you've got a lot of friends because
and
of
And if you're thanks, happy, man. People want to be around you because you're positive energy and people pick up on that and they like to be around you then.
Dude, 100%.
I mean, if
like,
you're a big downer, no one wants to be around you. It just brings the whole level down. It's
right?
like not enjoyable.
Right?
Right.
And like when you don't love yourself, when you're not creating love within your body and you're creating insecurity, dude, that's an energy that you're just like putting out.
Yeah.
You know?
If you aren't comfortable with yourself, then how could you possibly create anything positive? If you don't love yourself and you're uncomfortable with your own attributes, then you're gonna have bad attributes. If you're comfortable with the attributes that could be bad, they'll create good attributes.
And it's like the most basic level, like
yeah.
to build on anything else, you need to be comfortable with who you are.
Right. Totally. Like 100% completely, you're taking the words right out of my brain. Get out my brain, fools. No.
Yeah, David.
Yeah. Okay. And this is, I want to expand with this loving yourself thing, because this is like literally step number one. Like, okay, all like friends, acquaintances, listeners that came to me and inspired this topic, this is for you. Right here, rule number one, I'm going to put it down. If you are happy with yourself, it shows. So in order to attract more people into your life for dating purposes, friendship purposes, whatever, just a general aspect of a relationship, as Aiden was explaining earlier, focus on the things that make you happy. Focus on the things that make you happy. Number one, like which goes along with that, acting on your excitement. Because when you act on your excitement, you're following your true self. Think about it. Your true self is happiness. Like, your true self
right.
is your true, pure, like, 100% just happiness, okay? And when you act on what makes you happy, you are following your true self. You are following who you truly want to be. Not only want to be, but are, you know? That's what happiness is, dude. That's,
right.
that's why, like, each person is instilled with some sort of drive of things that they like. That's why, you know, that's why people go.
I just really, really want to thank all the people that approach David, because the people who listen to this show who are looking for help are typically uncomfortable with confronting it beyond just themselves.
Right.
They don't really want to go to another person. And those people that can go to David and say, hey, how do I do this? I look up to you so much because that is so impressive that you can confront a problem that you feel is hard to fix.
I agree.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that out there. That's very impressive. And thank
you, Aiden,
for that.
And honestly, like, obviously, dude, if it wasn't for the people that come to me, like, dude, it's like 50%. It goes both ways. Here, August, you wanted to...
I wanted to just touch back on the happiness, the point we were making.
Oh, totally.
If you... I mean, we're all guilty of putting on a mask. I'm not going to say I have.
Yeah.
We all have.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So, if you've noticed, when you put on this mask, you're not actually truly happy with what you're doing. You're doing it to try and achieve something else, but in that act of trying to achieve something, you're not being true to yourself, which results in a loss of happiness.
It feels awkward.
Touché.
It does. It's like...
It feels, like, different. It feels uncomfortable. Yeah. It feels constrained.
Almost like
right.
you're in a foreign body. Like you.
Yeah,
yeah, dude, for sure.
It's just something you shouldn't do, and while we're all guilty of it, we have to understand that we shouldn't be doing it.
Oh, no, totally. I honestly, like, completely agree. I completely agree. But yeah, no, it's true. Like, it does feel restraining. And, like, okay, seriously, like, I would say every single human being on this planet Earth is guilty for putting on a face, you know? Maybe not, like, I don't know, I'm thinking, like, tribes in Africa. I don't know. Because they're kind of, like, they're more, like, instinctual. But
I don't think they really care.
I don't think they care much. I'm talking, okay, maybe not every human being on the planet Earth.
But here, wait. Also, ask yourself if it's necessary.
Right.
Like, let's say you want to make a good impression on somebody's parents, so you walk up to them. Hi, my name's Aiden Jacobson. It's wonderful to meet you. Thank you for having me in your house. I love your house so much. It's great. Is it necessary? You just go up to them. Hey, dude, what's up? I'm Aiden. Thanks for having me. Okay. I'm gonna go.
Well, those are
like, I mean, just be yourself so that they can acknowledge you as the person you truly are right off the bat. That doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have to be a good person,
right?
Because you will naturally be a good person,
right?
I mean, I would say that there's two different extremes, though. You would also, I mean, it's good to have manners, first impression.
Yeah, duh.
Like, you wouldn't walk into someone's house and just completely rude, like, be rude.
Yeah.
You've got an ugly house. I dislike you. Like,
Yeah.
It's nice to be polite and people pick up on it.
Yeah.
See, wow, this guy knows.
But it's so obvious when I meet somebody and they aren't acting their true self.
Of course. You don't want to be, fake.
It's so clear. It's blatantly obvious. And I mean, why do that if it's so clear and evident? Because the person will know.
Yeah. Especially, it's not. I mean, when you're around someone who's being fake nice, you don't enjoy it. You feel like,
why is he being irritating with me?
Just be honest with me.
Like, if you're with somebody that's being themselves and you enjoy it, how much more appreciable is that than the converse of it? Because it's absolutely horrible when you meet somebody and it's like, oh, I really like this person, but I'm not sure if this is who they really are.
Yeah. Please, Matthias.
Even if somebody comes off harsh in their first impression and they're being themselves, it's better than them being like ridiculously nice and like a pushover.
Yeah.
And
You
know what I mean?
No. I totally completely feel what you mean. Just to let everybody know, listeners just tuning in, this is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, LA Talk Radio. You can call in live on the air. The number is 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. Or if you want to contact me via email, you can email me at dcsboarding, that's BORDING 514@AOL.com.
Real quickly, when did you make that email address?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Here's a little snippet of
7th or 6th.
It was no joke. I think it was like 7th grade.
Yes, I got it. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, let's get back to the show. We touched on like being the person who you are. We touched on loving yourself. We touched on how you have to love yourself, how you have to act on your true excitement.
I just thought of something else.
Go.
So let's say you do create that alternate persona and you're completely comfortable with it because it's hitting off pretty well.
Okay.
You will continue to do that because you feel like it's doing the right thing.
Right.
And if you continue to do that, you'll get absorbed in it. And I know people that have done this. I know people that aren't their true selves. I know somebody that's very close to me that does that on a constant basis, and it's creating a different person inside him.
It's kind of sad, too. I mean,
yeah.
It's sad, but it's easy for it to happen to you.
Yeah, it's very easy to get drawn into.
Acceptance is very comforting.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to do that because you want to be accepted.
And this comes back to confidence. You just need to be confident that you will be accepted as your original person, as your pure foundation,
exactly.
Instead of something that you've created to be accepted because you aren't confident of the acceptance.
Everybody has unique quirks and like weird originalities, and if somebody isn't like that, and if somebody doesn't like that, then you shouldn't be near them.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes back to like a basic fear of the unknown. I mean, we're all afraid of what we're not comfortable with.
Yeah,
and
I can see that.
Really, I mean, if you're afraid of what someone might think of you, and if you think, wow, they might dislike who I am, I mean, who cares? You might as well go for it, because if you meet someone that doesn't like who you are just because of what you are, that's the person you don't want to be
with. If they don't like who you are, you don't want to be with them.
Yeah. You don't want to
go out of your way to be with somebody you naturally shouldn't be with.
Exactly.
This is actually another thing that just popped in my head, which has to do with that, is if you are comfortable with this alternate persona that you're creating and you surround yourself, you become literally engulfed in it, and you surround yourself with people, with your quote-unquote friends that are friends with that alternate persona, then all your friends are going to do is add more to that. Because you surround yourself with – it's honestly – okay, I'm this is just like hands down like one of the like laws of the universe. It's not like anything religious, anything like that. It's just like a law, like some sort of like flow within the universe. People – their friends are people that they attract to. People that are in some sort of way similar to them. And in some sort of way, they can, like, grow from their friends. That's why people are friends, because they have things that...
It develops a bond.
Yeah, totally.
That creates opportunities and helps people grow.
Yeah.
Friendship and love and family are the three things in life that will make you develop. And if you surround yourself by false friends that aren't truly who you are, you won't be growing properly.
You won't develop.
Oh, exactly, exactly. It's like you're almost tainted in a way. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Totally, totally, yeah. August, definitely.
I think we have emails, right?
I actually want to get to the emails a little bit later in the show.
Okay, gotcha.
But thanks, Aiden, we do have emails. I want to touch on, so that's like number one, like love yourself. Okay, cool, we got that. Second thing, here we go. So we're going to go kind of into the dating aspect, because usually when it comes to what we're talking about, the most of the time it's pointed towards a dating, you know, like it's pointed towards, you know, yeah. the opposite sex. I mean, no, like there's definitely like a large percent of it.
There's always an aspect of it that involves the opposite sex.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I want to get to dating. I want to get to, once you love yourself, once you are comfortable with yourself, facing your dating fears, all right? So here, let's tell a little story here. Jimmy becomes comfortable with himself. Jimmy goes up to Jackie and asks Jackie on a date. Jackie likes Jimmy for who he truly is, and she says, yes. Jimmy's going to pick up Jackie at 8, but here's the thing. Jimmy is scared, excuse my French, shitless, because Jackie's really attractive, and Jimmy really likes Jackie. So how does Jimmy face his dating fears? Well, here we go. Feeling anxious or upset about the prospects of meeting someone new usually translates into fear, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. If the thoughts of never meeting someone special... being upset that your last partner refused to commit, or convincing yourself you aren't worth dating or taking over your thought process, it is time to face your dating fears. Right? By not following this dating rule and ignoring this issue, like, your inability to risk losing your heart, per se, will stop you from meeting someone special.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta just, like, go, yeah, yeah. you know, you gotta, like, just completely, like...
Go for it.
Go for it, dude. And like, okay, so Jimmy just, he let it go. hey, dude, did you hear Jimmy and Jackie are dating, bro?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm just kidding. yeah, so like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
you get the whole, like, dating thing. Okay, and then this is another thing. Accept all dates.
Accept all of them?
Yeah, check
every
this.
Single one?
No, okay, well, maybe not every single one. Because there are, of course, exceptions,
right.
like we said before, you know,
right.
like there are exceptions, you know, but here we go. Accept all dates. If you want to follow the rules of dating to meet someone new, it's time to stop making, like, snap decisions about the people who you ask out for a date, you know,
right.
Like,
right.
like, oh, I think you're cute. Hey, let's go.
Well, I mean, it really goes back down to it's rather than it's
right
like the basic cliche of don't judge a book by its cover. I mean,
right,
you've got to be able to get to know someone. Like, and a date isn't, it's like a harmless thing. You know what I mean? It's not a big ordeal. Just it takes not that long, and you get to know someone. Even
totally.
if you don't end up dating that person,
yeah.
maybe you made a friend. You know what I mean?
Dude, exactly. And like,
you can always appreciate somebody.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And the fact that someone likes you is a compliment enough to go on a date with them.
Yeah.
Right. Also, like, something else that obviously, like, goes along with this is being a good conversationalist.
Ooh.
Being a good conversationalist. Aiden, would you like to go on?
Well,
about being a good conversationalist.
I would say that awkward silences are
killers.
Horrible.
Oh my God.
Horrible. It turns the whole thing into just like, oh, I'm a little hermit in
right.
the shell.
It's
and horrific.
I'm
here to talk to you.
It's bad for both parties, too. I mean, no one enjoys an awkward silence.
Right? Like, hey, August.
Oh, yeah.
What do you like to eat for food? I like food.
But wait. There's also an inverse to that. Let's say you are a bug fanatic.
Bug fanatic.
Just like, oh my god, shut up about bugs.
And you just talk about beetles all the time, like your beetles and your cat and the way your cat likes to catch beetles and all this
stuff. How your mom helped you get into beetles and
try and avoid that, because talking about one thing for too long
and too passionately,
and just babbling
is overpowering.
Is horrible.
Yeah, dude, Matias, good word. Sorry, August, go on.
I'm sorry. Let's not say that it's bad to have a passion. Of course, I mean, if you love collecting beetles or having beetles, it's great.
Whatever.
Good for you. But that's not the only thing people want to hear about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, totally.
And it's good. You can share your passion with people. Other people can appreciate it. But there are more topics than just
don't,
beetles.
Don't flood somebody
with something.
Like. Yeah, Matias said overpowering.
Yeah.
A good person that can keep a conversation going and keep the flow active is somebody who can constantly find things they have in common, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah? But definitely. You don't want to be intrusive. You don't want to force it. Like, oh, do you like cats? I like cats. Cool. Not like that.
You like cats, dude?
And of course, if you're trying to find something in common with a person, it's good to kind of probe the area.
Keep it casual and let it flow naturally so that it seems like it is natural.
Right.
And then
it is natural.
Yeah.
Another thing that this just totally clicked in my brain that all ties into being confident with yourself. If you are loving yourself and if you are confident with yourself, therefore you are at peace with yourself enough to see into another person and kind of like see what you as a true person have in common with that other person, therefore bringing those to surface.
Yeah. But one more thing is you don't want to breach their limits. Like, let's say they're kind of reclusive. They're kind of concealed. You don't want to try and push their boundaries.
Right. You want to give them space and slowly.
Yeah. You want to test the waters and try and work the comfortability.
Right.
Stick a pinky toe in there.
What?
It was good testing the water. I'm sorry, guys.
I love you, Matias. I love you very, very much. You're a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Boy.
Aiden, I keep going on with testing the waters. I get what you're saying, but I'm a little lost.
Let's say you find this person interesting, pretty, whatever, and you want to get to know them. But let's just say theoretically something has happened and they aren't necessarily so open right away. You don't want to ask them things and constantly test their boundaries and ask them to take the next step.
Right.
Oh, now take the next step.
Right.
You don't want to do that. You want them to be in their own comfort zone.
Right, it's give and take. You want them to be comfortable enough also to ask you stuff. It shouldn't just be one way where you're constantly asking and asking and asking, and it's also, again, overpowering. They need space, and they need to be comfortable with you.
I would say that a little bit of pressure is a good thing, though, because if you have no pressure on it, I mean, there's no motivation for the person to do anything.
But see, then it'll make them feel as if they're being constrained. Like,
no, but I mean, I would disagree a little bit. I can understand where you're coming from, but I would say without any pressure, it's just I'm at a loss for words. I apologize.
I actually do kind of see what you're saying. With the pressure, it does move their boundaries on. It does create a new boundary that's
too much.
But
is
it
a
can
bad
make
thing.
Them feel uncomfortable.
Incorrect. Then you've got to be able to pick up on that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys. No, I like that. I like that. I was going. Aiden, thank you for explaining that. I actually want to get. Let's move on to an email. Woo!
I like the emails.
Yeah, I like the emails too. Emails are cool. So this kind of has to do with the topic in a different way though. In a different way. This is based around anger.
Ooh.
Anger, which affects everything, which affects literally everything. So, dear Dave, I've recently found that at certain times I will find things to be very angry at. I don't know what has happened. Can you give me some ideas to help Sierra?
Find things to be angry at?
Find things to be angry at.
What?
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna say something about myself right here. I know what she's talking about. When I was younger, no joke, I used to get these kind of like I think it's the same thing that she's talking about. She it's pretty much like the way she describes it. I literally, like, when I would get younger, I would, like, get in, like, these, like, really, like, pissy moods, just kind of like there's like a dark cloud, like, almost like hanging over my head, and literally I would, like, subconsciously, like, search for things to be angry at.
Really?
Yeah.
You seem like too nice of a guy to do that.
Dude, thanks, man. No, I don't know. I was younger. I was kind of, like, insecure with myself and, like, you know.
Well, everyone has that,
then. Yeah, everybody has that. But, like,
a sad panda.
Yes. I was a sad panda. But the thing about it is, like, I don't know. I would just, I like, okay, for example, if, like, my dad would say something to me, like, hey, Dave, can you, like, take out the trash? I'd be like, why?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And just, like, literally, like, intentionally start shit.
You know? It was, like, a challenging stage. Like, you just wanted to challenge.
Yeah.
What he was doing.
No, exactly.
The root of it is depression. That's where it starts.
Yeah, right.
And then once that builds up, you just want to find things to be pissed off at because you need to channel your anger through somewhere or your depression, and it turns into anger.
So, Sierra,
and at least
check this out. Listen to Aiden.
At least you acknowledge that. So.
Yeah. Another thing, like, obviously, like, first stage in, like anything with becoming more or with surfacing.
That's not a word, David.
Surfacing something within yourself is the ability to realize that there is a problem.
Yeah, so, that's so the first step.
The very fact of you emailing me and reaching out to me and telling me that you realize that you have this problem is cool. Yeah, also, Sierra,
really good.
Just for you, when I saw this email, I got this kind of cool thing. It's 10 things you should know about your anger.
Ooh.
Yeah, interesting. Indeed. Interesting. So, number one, the events of the world don't make you angry. You create anger by thinking, quote-unquote, hot thoughts. You attach meanings to events that result in your anger.
Yeah.
Duh. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Anger usually does not help. Finding active and creative solutions will make you feel better.
Right. Well, yeah.
So, if don't linger on the anger, it's only going to put you in a worse state of mind.
Right.
Anger-generating thoughts usually have distortions. Correcting them will help reduce your anger also.
That is true. Okay. Say that one more time. Say it like, I kind of don't understand it. Say it again.
Anger-generating thoughts will usually have distortions. Like, they won't make sense. It'll be kind of extreme. Like, it'll be exaggerated.
True. Oh, okay. I understand. I thought you said something else. Yeah. So, it's kind of like, obviously, like, if you have, like, anger towards something, that's completely distorted because of, like, the angry preconceived notion that you have on whatever it's towards.
Question whether or not it's justified.
And, ultimately, your anger is caused by your belief that someone is acting unfairly or some event is unjust.
Yeah. You have to question whether or not it's justified.
And it's really just your belief of the event. It's not. It could be completely just or completely fair.
Yeah.
Right. It's just your perception of it.
Yep.
Totally. Actually, that's actually a really, really important one if you think about it. Ultimately, your anger is caused by your belief that someone is acting unfairly or some event is unjust. Like, your perception, if you're angry, like, obviously, like, your perception is going to be skewed by the fact that, like, exactly. And, like, you think that somebody's out to get you, or you think that somebody is trying to make your life more difficult, or some event, you know? Okay.
That's a wonderful, wonderful... Here, wait. So, if you are constantly questioning whether or not somebody's trying to make your life more difficult, that means that subconsciously you know that you are the root of your depression and of your anger because you're trying to put it on somebody else. So, if that's happening, you can fix it.
Yeah. On top of that, when you're angry, I mean, even like little minor events will cause more anger. It builds on itself. It's a snowball effect.
Deal with it yourself. Don't try and blame it on somebody else.
It's really rooted in yourself is the main problem.
And don't let it fester either. The more you hold it in, the worse it gets, and the more it snowballs.
Let it out.
For who sent this email?
Sierra.
Try and find where this is coming from. And then, you know, uproot it. Because I think that you said you try and find things to be angry at. That shows that you're trying to blame your depression on something else.
Yeah.
When it's probably you.
That's, yeah, that's
definitely.
And even if it isn't you, you've gotta be able to find what's causing that anger and I mean, like recognize it
and deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, think about it this way, Sierra. And this is kind of like a little bit like deeper into, for example, events in your life. Everything, like literally every single thing has an equal and opposite reaction. Newton's law. We've mentioned this on the show before.
Oh yeah, Newton.
Right, dude. Newton was such a G. Okay, so everything has an equal and opposite reaction. Therefore, if you like, if some event in your life occurs, or if somebody like, if you feel as if somebody towards you is like being negative, then whatever reaction that has. Like whatever way that makes you feel, there is going to be a positive and a negative to it. And if you are only open to realizing the negative because of this anger, then that's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
You're not going to see the positive aspect of it.
You can't achieve the happiness you're seeking.
Yeah, exactly. And like, honestly, okay, even if somebody's like being mean to you, if somebody's like being like totally pissy and is making you angry, and you get angry at them, like, there is a good part of that.
Yeah.
Analyze the situation, be like, okay, I'm going to almost, like, use this as a sign. Use this as, like, so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Number 5, sharing the other person's perspectives regarding fairness and justice may help you to both cooperate and experience less frustration. Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So just like get all the perspectives. Get the negative, get the positive, realize both of them. People don't like to be punished and will distance themselves if you do it to them. The short-term gains of anger and punishment are lost when compared with the long-term losses of friendship and trust. Dude, that's a big one.
That's a really big one.
Yeah.
That should have been like number 1.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like saying, I'm sorry, I'm not close enough.
Oh, it's cool, man. No worries.
it's like, I mean, if you have this momentary satisfaction of letting go of your anger on some bystander, a friend, a parent, or whatever, it really is. It could result in a loss of something vastly more important. I mean,
that person will see the unjustification behind it, when you'll think it's completely justified because you aren't looking at the scenario, because your perception is distorted by the anger.
Yeah.
Very true.
Also, though, if it's a true friend, they will also help you pass through that anger. So you shouldn't just blow up on them. You should ask them for help.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But then again, most people aren't so willing to help somebody who just freaked out on them for nothing.
Very
even
true.
If they are close friends. If my very best friend screamed at me for forgetting to throw away something, you know, I would still love him to death, but I would say, dude, you shouldn't have done that.
Don't freak out on your friends.
Yeah. Man, I wanted to do that.
Yeah, like, of course I would still talk to him, but I'd be disappointed, and I feel like everybody would feel that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Sorry, go on. No, dude, please.
Well, it's just not worth the momentary benefits of letting go of your anger.
Yeah,
right, dude. Totally. Number 7, your anger often serves. Ooh, this ties in with what we were talking about before. Your anger often serves to protect a self-esteem that feels threatened.
Yeah.
When you blame the other guy for your feelings of worthlessness, right? You are always fooling yourself.
Yeah.
It's because you want to root the problem somewhere else besides you because don't want to accept the fact
egos
that
are
you
fragile.
Are the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Egos are fragile.
Yeah. And ego in general, just like having egos are very fragile. For one, for two, like possessing like a large ego in general is just like, it's like. Like, you know, it's just like ego.
It's why bother? I mean, nobody likes someone with a big ego.
Totally.
Yeah, but everybody has one.
Number 8, frustration results from the unmet expectations. Expectations. What do you know? Frustration results from the unmet expectations. That's why you don't set expectations.
Oh, yeah. Talking about well, the show. That can also traverse to things like school and sports.
Oh, of course. Really, of course. Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's no, very, course. Very broad. It doesn't just lay on the...
No, yeah. When I say expectations, I'm talking, you know, in a broad term. Burns emphasized that frustration always results from your unrealistic expectation. One more time. Unrealistic. Yeah. Expectation.
Don't have any.
Wow, what a coincidence. I mean,
right? Right? Isn't it? Isn't it a coincidence?
Or was it?
But then again, there's no such thing as coincidence.
Oh, yeah.
His simple solution, change your expectations. That's it, dude. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just acknowledge real expectations.
Yeah, be realistic with yourself and with others.
And I guess like another thing like having to do with expectations is like don't set your like everybody has like some sort of expectation. When I say like don't have expectation for it, I mean like of course you're gonna like want things to happen, but I'm saying like don't be like, okay, if this doesn't happen, I'm gonna be pissed.
Like don't only push you know? For
yeah.
it. You,
it yeah.
It's just say, oh, I would like this to happen, but if it doesn't happen, yeah. don't let it just totally tear you
if,
down.
Exactly. If you create unrealistic expectations, don't depend on them.
Right. Insisting that you have the right to be angry may be true, but the question to ask is it useful?
No. That's really good.
Yeah.
So even if it is justified, is it useful?
Or is
so
it
that completely
to...
nullifies anger in every single scenario.
Yeah. Right.
If it isn't justified, it's clearly not necessary.
Yeah.
If it is justified, what the hell are you gonna get from it?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And
it's
I mean, like, and I would say is it appropriate either? I mean, if you're in class and a teacher calls you out and angers you
yeah.
or something, don't fly off the handle. Don't get angry at the teacher because ultimately
yeah.
that teacher has a large influence on the rest of your life.
So basically, the outcome of this is anger is completely redundant, unnecessary, and unuseful in every single scenario.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sometimes anger can be useful to help you achieve a goal maybe or like
I guess.
Fuel you.
Yeah.
But overall, I would say it's
yeah.
don't let it take you over. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
For example, like you have to feel anger, which Sierra clearly does.
Yeah,
you have
clearly.
To feel anger to know anger to know not to be angry.
Right.
You know?
But everybody's going to have anger every
right.
once in a while, regardless of how much they try to not
have
it.
I mean,
we can
all four of us can say, oh, you just don't be
yeah.
angry, but I'm telling you, we will all achieve
yeah.
anger next
yeah.
week, probably.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like, but then again, like, you know, there's always that aspect of becoming completely 100% almost like content.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've been angry in a very,
yeah,
very
I,
long time.
I just like, I don't know, within myself, like, I now at this stage in my life, like who I have become, I've almost like nullified anger.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I live with my brother Matthias here, but I'll have anger a little more frequently,
no.
but it's a fleeting anger, I would say.
We've
had
we don't hold grudges.
We don't stay angry. It'll
no,
be
I mean,
5 minutes
like,
tops.
Like you
guys just
love
beat
each other
up, and then it's all better after.
Yeah, exactly. You fight like bears.
I just pissed in the sheets. No,
ew.
That's nasty. Aiden, why'd you say that?
Yeah, Aiden, you're gross.
Just kidding. Okay.
That's
number...
not funny, Aiden.
Yes, it is. Number 10, to close Sierra's email answer, this is, I would say, number 10, like, probably one of the most important things. When you rid yourself of your sour irritability, you will feel greater zest, joy, peace, and productivity. You will experience liberation and enlightenment. Done. Done.
That was a good wrap-up, I feel like.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Totally. Okay, I want to move on to another email. Hi, Dave. I am a 16-year-old. I have been having a hard time with feeling depressed. I don't know what is going on, but I sleep a lot, just want to hang out with friends, and sometimes get high. So I don't have to feel sad. Some friends have stopped hanging out with me because they say I bring them down. What do I do?
Well, I would say yet again, clearly depression is a problem, and you are dealing with it by smoking, which is just bypassing it.
Yeah.
It's still there, you're just going around it, and you aren't even going around it very properly.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, this goes back to being a downer when you've got to be happy with yourself. I mean, if you're a happy person, you will have people recognize that you're okay to be around. Yeah. Whereas if you're a downer,
we actually talked about this earlier.
We did. It goes back.
Yeah,
to
no,
it.
We totally did.
You don't want to. If you're a downer, people won't want to be around you. It goes back down to you just have negative energy.
So
yeah,
I mean,
I was gonna say it's like the energy that you emit. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So I would say that the basis of what we're gonna give to this person would be stop trying to avoid your problem.
Just confront it.
I mean,
there's no reason to hold back.
Clearly you're depressed, and I don't think weed is going to be fixing it. It'll only drag you down. It'll only make you lazy. It'll only give you more problems.
It'll muddle what your mindset is.
Weed doesn't just make you happy. Weed just amplifies the emotions you're having at the time, is what I think.
No,
smoking
totally.
Weed just makes you more depressed. Yeah. That doesn't
help. Yeah, dude, like, if you are depressed and you smoke weed on a frequent basis, all that's going to be doing is literally, like, pulling you down. So I would say slow down on the pot.
if even smoke the pot.
If even,
maybe take five on the pot. Don't take a little break.
Yeah, but, you know, like, it's hard for, you know, for some kid on the radio to tell, you know, somebody else who wrote him, like, hey, dude, just stop smoking pot, you know? I mean, that would be great. That would be key. That is ultimate goal to stop, because, honestly, smoking pot is only going to keep you where you are, you know?
You're right.
But, you know, at least try to slow down. At least. That's like, yeah. Okay.
I'm on a crack.
Yeah, dude.
Horrible
really
idea. Don't do that.
Okay. I'm going to move on. This email says, Dave, I'm so tired of being threatened like a child by my parents. I'm almost 17, and I'm so tired of them looking at me like I'm a little girl. I am a woman with feelings and needs and would like to be perceived as that. But I get really pissy and yell at them. What can I do, Jennifer?
I almost feel like this person would call in so we could ask them, I mean, have they voiced these issues to their parents?
Dude.
Because if they tell their parents, confrontation is always a key step to achieving the results.
Yelling
you
at
want.
Your parents doesn't help at all. Yelling
one
at your
thing,
parents will make it worse.
Yeah.
One thing I would look at is, okay, first off, again, question whether or not it's justified. You're on the cusp of being an adult, so I can imagine you being very, very eager to get there. And is it your eagerness that's creating this perception of them looking down on you?
Yeah.
Because if it is and they aren't really doing it, you need to be careful with that. Because they probably are doing the right thing, but then again, they might not be.
Yeah.
And you have
parents
to understand,
generally, though, do have your best interests at mind.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that if you're in their house, you're living under their roof, they're paying for your meals and your clothing.
True. At the end of the line, you have to respect them.
You have to
give them
the
final call.
Some slack.
Jennifer, I wish you would. I really, really, really wish you would call in if you're listening.
Damn it, Jennifer.
Please do call in 323-203-0815. That is the number here. Because here's the thing that's kind of like a little touchy about this email is when you say, I'm so tired of them looking at me like I'm their little girl. Well, like what does that like
what does that mean?
A broad statement,
that's really broad. Like
because
what?
You still are their little girl. You're still their daughter.
Technically, you are still their daughter, you know? But like I don't know, like what kind of things do they do to you? Like
I would say like what's causing these issues? What do you mean they're a little girl? Like are they not letting you stay out or something?
Right.
Or
exactly.
Giving you restrictions.
Exactly.
Or is it just because they keep on viewing you as still a child? I mean,
like if they don't let you go out and you have to go to sleep at like 8:30 every night, that would be one thing.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah. If they close your door and lock and they're like, all right, go to sleep. It's 8.
I doubt that's the case.
No, I doubt that's the case too. I completely doubt that's the case too. If it's just like
it's
one
a
of
funny scenario.
Yeah, it's like an like a 17.
It's still light out.
That's funny.
Close the blinds.
You gotta stop making me laugh. Because like it'd be one thing if it's like that, but yeah, like August said, if it's like, you know, if it's like they don't like, you know, like let you go out to like a party or whatever, that's, you know,
a little more understandable.
Yeah, it's a little more understandable. You know,
because,
like,
I mean,
they're trying to keep you safe.
They have your best interest in mind, and while maybe they're being overprotective, they're just trying to look out for you.
You have to question whether or not it's your degree of eagerness that's been growing and growing since you've been getting closer to 18.
Totally.
Because you want that freedom more than anything right now, and it's pretty evident. So you have to question whether or not you're that persistent on that freedom.
And ultimately, it might be best not to burn bridges and just hold out until you are out of the house, rather than
ruin a relationship with your parents.
Exactly.
Right,
there
totally.
We go.
True.
Another thing about it is, if you want to be treated like an adult, then you have to act like one.
Exactly.
I agree. Don't yell at your parents.
Yeah. Right here.
That's true.
No, literally, right here. People will ignore you if you throw tantrums. Don't be accusatory, no matter how wrong you may know they are. Just don't.
I knew somebody who once said, once you start yelling, people stop listening.
Yeah,
that's a good statement.
If you are like worried about this and you do believe your parents aren't being fair with you, maybe sit them down and have a talk with them.
Voice your problems with them. It's not worth throwing a tantrum to try and get your way.
Right. Totally. Here, I want to move on to the next email. Dave. Oh, this is really small, really simple. How can I get out of a boring date? That's it. That's the entire email.
That's awesome.
Dave, how can I get out of a boring date?
Is there a name we can address?
No, there's not.
Anonymous?
I wish there was. There's an email address, but I'm not legally allowed to...
So we'll just say, like...
We can call him, we'll call him Tom.
Tom. That's
Tom.
A good,
well,
good one.
Here, wait. So, there are multiple scenarios that we have to regard because of how vague he was being.
Correct.
So, first, getting out of it, as in... just leaving?
Like, are you in,
or,
are you in the date, or is the date scheduled?
This is the way that I would perceive it to be. How do you get out of a boring date? Well, I would say, like, I think what he's trying to say is, like, how do you, like, because, okay, for you to know it's boring, you're already in the date.
Correct.
So,
or you've already hung out with the person before.
And
they're twins, by the way, everybody. They're identical twins.
Identical.
Oh, goddamn it. Sorry,
we're fraternal.
So to know it's boring, you're already there. How do you get out of a boring date? Okay, well, there's multiple ways you can perceive that. For one, you could be like, how do you change the boringness into excitement? Or it's like, how do you just, like, get out of it?
Do you think this guy wrote this email while he was on that date?
He, like, gets on his iPhone, like,
how do I get
it?
Out?
Wait.
How do
Help
I get out?
Wait. So, I have a friend who's done some funny things to get out of a date, and this is one of them. So, he texted his buddy and asked him to call him, and he picks up the phone, and he's like, oh, hey, Dad, what's up? And he makes it seem like his dad is really, really pissed at him.
Right.
And that his dad wants him to come home right now. And then he's like, I'm so sorry, but I've really, really got to go. And then after that, he just avoided the girl, which is absolutely horrible in my opinion.
I'm thinking we're trying to look for ways to not hurt
well,
not
well,
hurt her
well, feelings. That is like the 100% way to get out of it.
No, that's
but
true.
It
that's
is,
true.
And if you think about it, it won't really hurt her feelings on the instant. It'll just be like, okay, I understand you have to go.
Yeah.
And if you just avoid them without being like, no, I don't like you, then I think it'll be okay.
I would go off of what David was saying is how to change the date into a more exciting date. And I would say that goes back to our conversational skills, which we were talking about earlier. Move the conversation along.
No,
probably it's boring because you've got awkward silences. Like, you've got to just keep the conversation moving. If it's dull, if it's still, you've got to keep going. You've got to just push through.
For sure. Thank you guys very much. August, Matthias, Aiden, always a pleasure.
I can't believe that was already 50.
With our lovely
right?
host, David Cohen.
This is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're on every single Sunday from 1 to 2. LATalkRadio.com, the best internet talk station in the world. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're out. Bye-bye. Have a great Sunday.
Peace. Later.